for the Hospital Research Home Lottery. $2.8 million grand prize. Visit homelottery.com.au.
Oh, good morning, Ron, this Monday morning. How are you?
No, I'm good, actually. Thank
are you.
Yeah, well, good as you can be when it's 12 degrees and hailing and the footy side's getting flogged.
Well, I'm off to the opera next weekend. I've found a new hobby.
Really?
Yeah. Going to the ballet and then the opera.
No, look, it's a tough weekend sport-wise, but anyway, we've got to push on from that and try and have a good rest of the rest of our lives. Everyone's
unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. But we'll get through it. We'll get through it. We've got Limo coming on for a laugh today. We'll find out all the entertainment news with Peter Ford. We'll open the phones up for Monday Talkback. We're about to learn a bit more about a great South Australian charity as well, Dids, aren't we?
Yeah. We've met a couple of incredible ladies who, they've lost their babies. They've lost infants. And how would you bounce back from that, Roo? How would you cope with it for a start?
Puts footy into perspective, doesn't it?
Certainly, yeah. It's a very good point, actually. But, we'll find out more about it. It's very, very touching stuff. I can guarantee you that. Roo and Dits here on Triple M. Just a reminder, Roo, we will give away a double to One Night Before September a little later on this morning.
Triple M. Roo and Dits. Top three things you need to know.
The Ashes overnight, Roo. This has turned out to be a nail-biting draw, but there's been so much controversy surrounding it. We'll find out more a little bit later on. But you know that Steve Smith was felled by a bouncer.
Yeah.
Very nasty delivery. Now, we've just watched it a few times this morning. It looks very, very similar to the Phil Hughes one. It hits him behind the ear, lower down behind the ear, and obviously it drops him to the ground.
Yeah, 3 or 4 inches away from being exactly where it was for Phil Hughes. And sounds like it's bad enough that he won't be playing in the third test as well. So bad news for the Aussies.
Started to feel a little bit of a headache coming on last night, probably as the adrenaline, I guess, probably got out of my system. But woke up feeling a little bit groggy and with a headache again. Had some tests done and, upon some, I guess, further assessments, deemed to be a mild concussion.
Big backlash. Jofra Archer, the bowler, concerned, has been, they're accusing him of making light of it and smiling and smirking and, laughing at the situation. I don't know if he was laughing, but anyway, for some reason he was caught on camera with a bit of a smirk on his face. But the other one is that when Steve Smith recovered and came back out onto the field to bat, a large section of the crowd at Lord's were booing and jeering Steve Smith. So lots being written about it.
Yeah, it is, and talked about it, and people making calls on it. But people have been booing everyone for years, haven't they? I don't know where to stand on this. I mean, people boo people to try and intimidate them and put them off half the time, don't they? And plus, he's got the sandpaper gate still in the background.
Yeah.
I think they all respect him. Of course, they know how good a cricketer he is, and that's what they're trying to do. No different to booing Wayne Carey or anyone in the world of football.
Yeah.
I haven't got an issue with it. Sure, you've got to have respect if someone gets hurt. That's a different kettle of fish, but I don't know. Mm. We make a big deal out of this stuff, don't we?
We've also got to remember, I'm not trying to compare apples with apples here, or I don't think I am, but you know, I can remember when I was a kid growing up, we had Geoff Thompson open the bowling for Australia. Now, there was a tour in particular, 1976, he broke batsmen's bones to the point where England had to send for reinforcements. I mean, they ran out of batsmen. No one complained back then. Like, we thought it was great. Everyone in Australia thought it was funny, and we were thrashing the Poms.
Yeah.
You've got to put it into perspective a little bit. They've deliberately targeted Smith because they can't get him out, so they've tried different tactics.
Yep.
I'm not saying you're trying to kill a person, by the way.
They still can't get him out.
No.
But when you do bowl fast, you do try and hurt people.
Mm.
It's exactly what you're trying to do.
Hey, Roo, what about here locally? Let's move on from the cricket. This is an interesting story at Kmart where a lady's complained. They've refused to do a missing child announcement over the loudspeakers. And they're saying it's all about child protection. Now, surely, if there's a kid missing in your store, child protection means let's make announcements and try and find the kid as quickly as we can.
So what are they doing differently than
nothing?
What?
So they refuse. It was a grandmother who'd be more distraught than the mum. You'd think, God, I've got the responsibility of looking after my grandchild here, had lost the child in the store, and no one at Kmart would help. they're saying, no, no, this, we've got new child protection policies in place.
It's bloody frightening when you lose a kid, even for 10 seconds.
Surely if there are announcements, you're going to find the kid quicker, aren't you?
They're doing something with training the staff? I don't know.
Mm. Like, don't you need to say what the kid's wearing, or I suppose that would be normal?
Mm, I suppose they're worried about people trying to look for him and steal him and all that sort of stuff these days. A little bit different, though, isn't it? Hey, they reckon if you think traffic's getting worse in Adelaide, well, it actually is for this reason. Over the last 5 years, the amount of cars on the road has gone up 7.7%. And the amount of population is only going up 3%. So we're actually owning more cars. I don't know if that means you can drive more cars at the same time with the same amount of people, but we actually have got more vehicles on the road.
So more cars per household, probably.
Yeah, per head. So that is a little stat there for
you. What it means is every time one of your kids hits 16, you're going to end up with seven cars in your driveway.
Oh, the congestion in Burnside is going to be horrible.
That's what's happening.
Catch a bus.
Once upon a time, we just borrowed mum or dad's car.
This is a big stat. It's a very important stat, this one. Another stat for you. One in three people who walk their dogs do not pick up their poo.
Oh, get out.
No. This is a good little stat for you. I should have saved this one for Statman.
Yeah.
But some of them, it's been revealed, even in the Triple M offices here, bend over and make out.
Oh, no.
They pick it up and just, you know, scratch the grass a little bit and all that.
Look busy.
Look busy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe put their bag, make out they tie it up.
No.
Don't even pick up the poo.
Terrible.
Come on.
And people like you and I come along and walk in it.
Exactly.
And step in it.
Yeah. So they're the big news topics overnight.
Dog owners. Yeah. All right. Not far away from Statman, we'll give away a Google Home Mini. Ruined Dits on Triple M.
What a goal!
Ruined Dits overnight sports.
Now, Roo, I know you would have analysed in depth what's happened over the weekend with both the Crows and Port Adelaide, but can I tell you personally, just from my group of friends, I've never had such a reaction on my phone. Like all through the games over the weekend and then all day yesterday. Do you blame, is it players? Is it coaching? Is it the combination? How can our two teams dish up performances like that?
It has to be a combination. You don't have 86-point losses by having a crack, do you?
No.
Like Port are too good for that. We've seen
but are that, they?
Well, they
I
are.
Keep hearing that.
No,
all year
we
I'm
know
hearing,
they are.
You're up 1 week, down the next. No, it means you're actually not as good as
Okay, not as good over the whole season, but we know they can be good. That's the frustrating thing because they're beating the good sides and playing really, really good football when they play good. They just don't do it consistently.
Right, so, I never thought I'd say this, but I got to the point watching the other night and I thought, what's the point of playing finals? Why would you play finals if you're dishing this up? Against a team that the previous week kicked one goal.
I can totally understand how you feel, and I feel the same way myself. But I'm not giving up, and I'm not associating with anyone who's going to give up, and no one should tolerate that. And no club, Port and Crows, won't give up either. That's why they're picking sides to win, and they're going to try and get to the finals and do it. Whether they do anything when they get there remains to be seen. At least Port's best football is really good at the moment. I know you're angry about the weekend, and you should be. But the Crows' best football at the moment is not even competitive with the top side. Last week it was, and I thought they were going to go on with it on the weekend, but they didn't. It's a real issue.
Let's hear from Don Pike first up.
Super disappointing. I mean, we've clearly let ourselves down. We let our fans and supporters down, and it's not acceptable. We came here, as you say, with so much to play for, and you know, not for the first time this year, and especially in the second half, we weren't able to elevate to the level required. So we've got some searching to do, you know, in terms of looking at all components of our program.
He sounds a shattered man.
Well, he is a shattered man because he went to the game like I did, thinking they were going to win. They could win.
After that performance, which it was poor, we called the game on Triple M, it was poor. Can I ask you that as a board member, do you collectively get together after a performance like that on Sunday and have a meeting or get to the bottom of it, or do you not interfere at all?
Well,
just keep right out of it?
No, it's not a matter of interfering. It's a matter of helping and supporting and staying together, I think, rather than interfering.
Do you know my reaction?
You know how you can interfere if you go in like a bullfit and start going, what the F's going on down here? You blokes are bloody, you start saying, I, you know, and you and all that sort of thing. That's not the way to go about it. And Crow supporters need to be rest assured at the moment that people will make the right decisions and the right due diligence will be done. If you've got to try and keep winning as the season's going along. You can make some changes as the season's going along, but the big changes and what needs to be done at the end of the year will happen at the end of the year.
All right, let's hear from Ken Hinckley, Port coach.
What we need to do is not overreact right now and make sure we get the detail and look at the game closely before we come up and go, because if you look at that game, you got everything you could possibly get wrong, we got wrong.
Now, I just want to make a comment here, and I always preface this by saying, easy for me, I've never been out there at AFL level, I sit in the stands, but Roo, I comment as a member that pays his membership, and in fact, I'm part of a coterie group, as do all of my friends who have texted me all weekend.
Yep.
I'd ask you, when you walk off the ground as a player, and there's quite a few of them who had single-digit stats, I've got to ask the question, did you run? Did you give it everything you had? Did you sprint and did you crawl off the ground until you just had no more to give? When you kept losing the ball out of the middle every single ruck contest against Goldstein, what did you change? What did you do about it? These are questions that I think are fair enough to ask. And when Ken says, let's not overreact, I probably would overreact today.
I think he's saying let's not overreact as in let's make sure, let's be absolutely disappointed, review it and dissect it and work out what we did wrong, but let's also make sure we make those changes and try and win and beat Freo boy more than what the Crows beat, hopefully beat the Bulldogs by, so they can still play finals and keep the dream alive while there is a chance.
Because it's not saying
let's not worry about what happened on the weekend. Let's be lazy.
But that reeks to me of laziness. What happened against North Melbourne the other day? Mental weakness and laziness.
You're not 86 points worse than North Melbourne, are you?
Well, the week before, they could only manage one goal.
Yep, and the same thing happened to them. What happened to you on the weekend? And they obviously didn't overreact and turned it around and had a massive win.
That's a good point.
So you don't go, righto, let's just get to the end of the year. Let's just stuff this week against Freo. Let's lose against Freo this week on the home deck. How bad would that be? Yeah. Would you rather a 10-goal win against Freo or a 3-goal loss?
Both of our clubs, there are a lot of emotional people out there at the moment. A lot of members.
And you know what? People should be. I am. You are. But you've also got to be calculated and controlled and do a really, really good review and work out what's going on. And you've got to back in the people at your club who are there to make the right decisions. If they're not the right people, then you've got to move them on. But if you've got the people there to make the right decisions, let them make the decisions and turn it around. It is a ruthless competition with 18 clubs and you're not going to win a premiership or even get close all the time. You can try to, but it's bloody hard, I can tell you.
All right, fair enough. Now, what about what happened at the cricket? Let's hear from England fast bowler Jofra Archer. This is the fella who hit Steve Smith on the neck.
Honestly, I don't know what I was thinking at the time. You know, seeing someone go down, like, you don't ever want to see anyone getting carried off in a stretcher, or you don't want to see anyone missing a day or missing another game.
So people accused him, a commentator said he was smirking or smiling, if you like, at what happened, but I don't think
sounds like
been.
He was... All right then, doesn't it? So, yeah,
it does. All right, that is our look at sport, and Roo will delve further into the footy a little bit later on this morning, not far away from our Monday talk back here. Roo and Dits on Triple M.
G'day, this is John Farmer.
Hello, Roo.
On Triple M's Roo and Dits for breakfast.
Not really enough for argument, boys.
It's time for Monday talk back.
Oh, we need a bit of a lift this morning. Let's hope we get some good calls.
Yeah, bro. Let's throw the lines open on 133353. Hello, good morning.
Hello, hello, Big Red Cat. This is JK.
JK.
How are you, mate?
I'm pretty good, you know. I received a disturbing call from a man called Murray. He said he lives on the Murray.
Yeah, Murray on the Murray.
What's he doing ringing you?
He tracked you down in Karachi.
He said if I could call through and go first this morning, he wanted me to test the water with you two guys.
Righto, what have you got to say?
He said that you might need a little bit of inspiration, you know, from JK.
Yeah.
Because apparently your team's lost at the weekend.
Yeah,
you know?
Badly.
Apparently yours was defeated by Collingwood, is it right, Roo?
Yes, it is right, JK.
And a team called North Melbourne beat yours, is that right, Big Red Cat?
Yes, that's right.
Well, you know, I am here to tell you that if you stop for every dog that barks, you're never going to reach the end of your journey.
Yeah, good point.
If you stop that barks, you're never going to reach the end of your journey.
And if you stay in the valley, you're never going to see the view from the top of the mountain.
Right.
Right. And you know what? Well, my final bit of advice to you both, to you, Roo, first up, you know, and to you, Did, to your big red cat. You know what you do when you play next week?
What?
You beat them.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Thank you.
Good work, JK.
A man who knows how to win.
Exactly right. Yeah, I like that. That was inspirational. It was this morning. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, good morning.
G'day, boys. This is John Farnham.
Farnham! How you going?
Oh, mate, sincerely, I'm really good, and sorry about my team beating yours.
He's a North Melbourne man.
I am, mate. Yeah, sincerely. Anyway, look, I just want to say to everyone, I had my birthday during the year, and everyone's been giving me cigars.
How old, honey?
Yeah, 70, mate. 70.
70?
Yeah,
well,
yeah. 70? I know.
You look all right.
Yeah, I know. That's what the bride says. But, you know, I've given up smoking, so no more cigars as presents. Yeah, I know. And I've decided, and Glenn agrees, we reckon that smoking is like touring.
Right.
You say you've had your last one, but you're never sure.
Right. Hey, when did you start smoking?
I was 12, mate. Yeah.
12?
That's the thing I ever did. Yeah, I know. So I came over, yeah.
Sucking on darts for 58 years.
That's right, mate. And sincerely, I gave up for 12 years, you know. And that's that's why it's like touring, because I said I'd retire. Mm. And I didn't, but I had another one.
Righto.
Anyway, I love you, boys.
Thanks, Farnsie. Oh, good on you, mate.
You too, Farnsie. Yeah. I love when he rings in, Farnsie.
All right, let's go to our next caller. Hello, good morning.
You blokes are all right, are you?
What? Who's that? Is that Murray?
Murray.
You're a bit slow getting through today, mate.
Third up.
Yeah, well, I was a bit scared to call through after what happened at the weekend.
Yeah. What's the word on the Murray about the boys?
Well, they reckon it's all right. They reckon, you know, that you can turn it around, and they reckon that the worst case scenario is that if you lose, you're out.
Right.
And that's with the both teams, they reckon.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
So you've got to win.
Yes.
Ditz actually wants to lose.
No, I don't.
You know, well, the Furnace, he reckons that you're going to be both all right, but the Furnace wants to know if you can both make the eight or just one of them.
Down to one now.
Yeah.
Also, if one of them loses, then you're out.
Mm. Well, if the Crows lose, Porter out.
And what if you both lose?
Then we're both out.
Hang on, Muzz. It's not that funny. Muzz.
Sorry, boys.
I rub it in.
But the Furnace, I tell you, he's got a bit of a gambling problem. He went to the TAB and there's a sign on the door and it said, Sunday, open Sunday, 10 to 1. And he said, yeah, I'll have a bet on that. I'm sure they were open last Sunday.
That's an easy win.
Yeah. All right.
10 to 1.
On you, mate. Yeah, tell me this, Roo. Okay, you work out AFL. Your blokes lose by 10 goals and you went up the ladder. How does that work?
Because you lost worse.
No. All right, let's take one more call, shall we? Hello, good morning.
Yeah, g'day. It's not good, is it?
Oh, gee whiz, Tex.
You know the worst bit, Roo?
What?
We're going to go to Adelaide.
You what?
Oh, good. Sorry, not Adelaide. We're in Adelaide. We've got to go to Ballarat.
Yeah, Ballarat.
You've got to go to Mars.
Oh, that's a small town, isn't it?
Yeah,
Ballarat.
Sort of.
Yeah. I heard that so small a main street goes for the car wash.
Might be good to play in a small town. Less people watching.
I was thinking, if you took your chess set,
right,
to a cash converter,
you'd be
pawning it. Yeah. That's ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to a pawn shop.
Yeah. Funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right,
anyway, good luck. We've got a lot of
training
to do this week. Yeah, see you tomorrow.
Got a gag
Do you hear about the Scotsman that had diarrhea?
No.
They called him Brayfart. See you, boys.
That is good. That is great.
That's all we got time for with our Monday talk back. More with Roo and Ditz in just a moment on Triple M. Roo and Ditz here on Triple M on Saturday. We went down to the Adelaide Oval for Kick for Cash.
Young James here has won the competition to kick for $50,000 cash, everybody. Please make him welcome.
Right, now, James, how far are you going to kick from?
I'm going to play safe and go 20.
Now, you had a coaching session with Roo during the week. How did it go?
Pretty good. Pulled up a bit sore, though. He didn't let me warm up, so sore hammy, but it should be all right.
All right, $20,000 up for grabs. Get yourself ready. No footy boots, kicking in jeans. You're perfectly prepared. All right, here we go, everyone.
Right, this is for $20,000
cash.
You'll be OT! Congratulations.
Thank you, Triple M, and thank you, RAA.
Now, what are you going to do with $20,000?
I reckon a $10,000 snow trip and then the rest at the casino later on.
Right, now we've got him on the line. Let's hope he didn't go to the casino. James, good morning.
Hey, boys, how are you?
Yeah, good, James. Good. Have you pulled up?
Yeah, not too bad. Glad that's over, though.
Yeah, you won 20,000, mate. Shouldn't be, you know, that's pretty good weekend's work.
Oh, yeah, that's not too bad. I'm happy with that.
No tax. Wage for
you boys.
All right, don't worry about us. This is about you, mate. What did the wife say? Was she happy?
Oh, she didn't even watch it. She was facing the other way. Said I was going to miss. So good to see her back at me.
Now, in the warm-up, Roo got you to kick one from 50 just to warm up, and you absolutely nailed it. Gee, you could have won 50 grand.
Yeah, but did you see the second one after that as well? Yeah. Went out on the fall.
That was a bit ugly. Yeah, fell away quickly.
Good stuff. Did you go to the casino?
Nah. Good unfortunately, boy. the young lad spewed on the guy in front of us in the second quarter.
Well, he must have been watching the game then. The Crows made him throw up.
No.
At the Crows' performance, he's asking, so had to get out of there quick, smart.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, he's a cute little kid, little Carter. How old is he?
He turns 3 in November.
Yeah, well, he's a little beauty,
he's an absolute
mate.
Menace at the moment.
Yeah. They're meant to be, mate. That's what they're meant to do at that age.
Well, James, well done, mate. There was a lot of pressure. I've got to say, I don't get to stand out on Adelaide Oval, but when I was standing next to you, it was very, very daunting and quite intimidating, mate. So you did a great job and you nailed it and you've won 20 grand. So well done.
Thanks heaps for that, boys.
Yeah, good to meet you, James. Keep ringing into the show.
James from Paralowie, and all thanks to RAA, we do more. But he did really well, Roo.
Yep, he did, and good luck with his business as well. So he's a good lad, Dits.
Roo, coming up in just a moment, we're going to play a story to you. We met two ladies last week here at Triple M, and they came into the boardroom and told their story to our entire staff. And I've got to tell you that everyone was in tears.
Well, I was.
These are very, very touching and moving stories. And we're going to do a bit of a walk coming up. We're going to do our show on the road and try and raise some money for this very, very special organisation. It's about our children, and I can tell you, you will be touched by these stories. Oh, how was your weekend, Roo?
I've had better dits, but the sun is shining. It's not even shining today. It's still wet and gloomy.
It was hailing at my place. God, it was bucketing down.
Well, I was out at Glenunga at 9:30, and it hailed on my lad playing football yesterday, and all the supporters.
That?
No, he just said it was like. He said it feels like someone's throwing gravel at us.
And how did you cope on the sidelines? There's no shelter there, is there?
No, there's no shelter. I managed to sneak into the box. I was very brave. Pushed the ladies out and the kids, and got in there.
I'll work in the canteen.
Actual scoreboard blew over and hit a lady on the back of the leg and cut her leg, which was a bit sad. It was very terrible.
Yeah.
But
Wild weather,
and we got that all week. Hey, big hour coming up. Limo's going to join us for a laugh later on. We're going to have a chat about the footy later on as well. But up next, a very big announcement by Triple M. Very, very emotional story coming up.
We want you to meet a friend from our office, Beck, and hear her story.
In 2015, I went on maternity leave.
Beck and her husband, Brett, were due to have their second child.
And had a very, very long labour. And at 12:39 a.m. on the Sunday, I gave birth to a beautiful little bundle of joy, Max. Yeah, I was, you know, on cloud nine.
6 days into little Max's life, Beck knew something wasn't right.
So I got him up, fed him, put him on my shoulder, had one of those gorgeous little newborn, you know. And then all of a sudden I felt Max go quite limp. And I took him off my shoulder and he was quite a grey colour. My heart sank. I called Triple O and called out to my husband. We opened the front door and the paramedics came in. They got him stable, put him on a gurney and kind of went, you know, wheeled him to hospital. We got up to the hospital, one of the head paediatric doctors come up to us and she said to me, look, you know, are you all right? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm okay. And she actually said to me, and I remember so clearly to this day, there is a chance that little Max is going to die today.
Beck and her husband, Brett, had to make the hardest decision of their life.
We asked another doctor, like, come on, what's going on? This is, you know, this has been 7 hours now. What's going on? And they said, look, his heart's fine. Everything else is fine, but look, his brain's a little, we're not quite sure. There's not much responsiveness there. And so we made the decision to stop work and that we were going to turn little Max's life support off. And I remember putting my fingers on his eyelids and just closing and going, it's okay, mate. We love you. Just go. Just go.
With the help of a SIDS and Kids SA grief counsellor, Beck somehow managed to get through this hard time.
For me, SIDS were so vital in helping me, move on, but move forward with my grief. And, you know, if they weren't here, would I be here? Possibly not, because that grief is just awful.
Inspired by Beck's story, we wanted to do something to help families that might be going through the same thing.
Every single morning, it's Groundhog Day of you wake up and you realise that you don't have your child there anymore.
We also spoke to Kat, who relied on SIDS and Kids SA when she sadly lost her two-year-old in a car accident.
It doesn't matter how much I tried to do the right thing, my daughter died at my hands. So guilt overrides everything, even more so than blame. So the grief completely dictates and dominates everything in your life.
We asked her how big the impact was, having SIDS and Kids SA to help her get through the grieving process.
Massive. So just to give you a little snippet, by the time I arrived back from York Peninsula with my husband and my son after Indy died, it was 48 hours after the accident, and a lady was sitting at the end of my bed, and she introduced herself as my counsellor from SIDS and Kids, and she was going to stay with me as long as I needed her. Mm.
We had no idea just how many people SIDS and Kids SA helped, as Jaylene, a grief counsellor from the organisation, explains.
We support families who have a loss from conception to 7 to 8 years old. In that support, we provide counselling support at home. We actually visit them at their homes because we just think that when a family have lost a child, we find that coming to see them at home is much more pleasant for them.
After speaking to Jaylene, we realised SIDS and Kids SA definitely needed more help with funding.
Because we have no government funding, we get no money from anyone else.
In our research, we were disappointed to find out that with fundraisers like Red Nose Day, all the money raised goes interstate.
So we've taken it upon ourselves to help raise money for this great organisation and ensure all the money stays in South Australia, helping South Australian families.
Grief is hard work, and you have to face the hard work of grief. It's not something you just sit back and let it ride.
So we are now proud to announce Triple M's K's for Kids.
It's a massive walk from Salisbury to the Bay to raise money and awareness for SIDS and Kids SA.
The impact that SIDS and Kids has had on my life, the best way I can put it, again, in a taboo subject, is I'm only here because of my counsellor at SIDS and Kids.
So two ladies that we met here last week, Rube, both very, very brave to come in and tell their story. And we don't mind saying that we had tears streaming down our face, didn't we? Beck and to Kat, thanks so much for coming in and sharing. And in fact, we will play those interviews in full over the next day or two or the next couple of weeks. And you just will not believe what you'll hear. Like with Kat, she was on a dirt road visiting her parents in York Peninsula and just lost control of the car. Wasn't speeding, but the car slid sideways. And she woke up after being unconscious to find her little baby had died.
Mm. Yeah, it doesn't get much worse than that, I don't think, Dits. Both stories are horrendous, and we're amazed that they'd come in and do it and share those stories with us. And as you said, we'll hear those over the next couple of days. But K's for Kids, Dits, going to be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it. And hopefully we can raise some money for an organisation out there that we didn't even know about.
So just to explain, so we've all heard about SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, and they've expanded because people like Kat, also people out there lose their loved ones, their little ones, through other ways as well. So we know about SIDS, but there are other, as I said, people like Kat, so they need help too. And that's where this organisation has expanded now to SIDS and Kids SA, but they need financial support. So because it's so important, we want to launch this morning. We are walking on September the 13th, which is a Friday. We'll do our whole show on the road and try and raise some money and get donations. But you can start right now. If you want to give us a call, 1-333-53. If you're on the road, you can ring now and donate and help this wonderful organisation. and these families that we're talking about, or you can donate at triplem.com.au. Every little bit helps, Roo.
Yep, beautiful. Give us a buzz on 133353.
Roo, let's head down to Christie's Beach and take a call.
Yep, hello, Belinda.
Hello, Roo.
How you going, all right?
Yeah, I'm really good, thank you.
What can we do for you, Belinda?
Well, I just want to bring up, donate some money to this good cause. Just hearing that story then, just heartbreaking about little Matt. And I was just really shocked to also hear that that money didn't stay. We didn't get any of that money from Red Nose Day in SA. So certainly a worthy cause, and would like to donate.
Good on you, Belinda. Well done. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for your donation and thanks for your call, Belinda.
Yeah, Belinda from Christie's Beach. If anyone else would like to donate, 133353.
All I can say, Dits, for everyone out there listening, when you hear us hooking the segments coming up over the next few days, try and do whatever you can do to listen to them. They will blow your mind, unfortunately, but you're going to learn a lot about a charity that needs help because you never know when it's going to support someone you know.
Yep, SIDS and Kids SA, and thanks again to Belinda and thanks to everyone that's called up so far. 133353. Roo, in a moment, something totally different. Todd, who we work with, who we call Fabio here.
Yeah, Metro.
Auditioned for Mortal Kombat over the weekend. He's going to tell us all about it in just a moment.
Round one, fight.
Oh, yeah. Apparently that's Mortal Kombat. It's frightening, Roo.
1992 movie, Dits. They're going to redo it in Adelaide.
Now, our man Todd, who we call Fabio, went to the auditions on the weekend and I saw the pictures on TV. Thousands turned up. Todd, good morning.
Morning.
What time did you have to get there?
I got there about, I think it was about 6:30-ish.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
And how many people were there?
Already, there was a lot, even at that time.
Hundreds or thousands? Or?
Probably hundreds that in the morning, and then it got bigger and bigger, yeah.
So what sort of role were you going for? What did you want to, which part do you want to get in the movie?
Well, previously before the weekend, I just thought, you know what, try my luck. And they were applying for people to send in via email, like pictures of yourself and things like that, as we've talked about before.
So you got your shirt off.
So I did. Yeah,
he didn't get it off. He never had it on.
No, never had it on. Oiled up.
And that was for the main roles, but for on the weekend was mostly extras.
What are you, an actor, are you?
I've never done acting, no.
But you've gone for a main role.
Oh, I thought bugger it, who knows?
Optimistic. I wish our football sides as much optimistic.
Hey, listen. If Sly Stallone can act, this bloke can
act. Don't have a go at Sly. He's a bloody superstar.
Oh, yeah.
So there's 1,500 extras roles in this movie.
Mm. So what did they ask you to do?
When you finally got there, out of the line, you were kind of, a lot of photos were taken, some measurements were taken.
So shirt off?
Yeah, so I had to stand against the wall and they, you know, hold this thing maybe because there's so many people to identify you. And yeah, measurements were taken, and if one of what you thought was your key part in what you can offer, you show that, which was obviously I was in a physical form and did that.
So did you have to deliver any lines?
Not necessarily. Like, this was because I was mostly extra stuff.
Yeah.
I think you could tell a lot about, like, yourself, I think.
Right.
And
so come on, give us your spiel.
As we were just discussing before the break started, my old man was in Mad Max,
So what did he do in Mad Max?
He was a stunt rider.
Yeah?
Yeah, because he was, like, professional motocross rider back in his heyday. And as they started filming the Mad Max 2 in Broken Hill, they applied. Yeah, people applied for exactly what I'm doing now.
So I've watched Mad Max a lot of times. What scene was he in?
Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah. Nah.
Yeah.
It was a bad scene.
Bad scene.
Yeah, he was the bad guy in it. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So, with a huge green mohawk.
Right. So what are your chances? What's going to happen?
Well, as I said, there was a lot of people there and a lot of different people there in terms of...
What, different as in wacky or different as in different sizes?
In sizes and personalities, everything, you know, which is good for the movie because Mortal Kombat and the characters in Mortal Kombat are quite different.
So what's going to happen if they give you the call? I mean, you know, filming takes a lot of hours. What happens to Ruined It's on Triple M?
No.
We get the Tijuana.
No, of course not. Fortunately, I get out of here quite early, so I'll just... if they said... I would never, yeah. I can't give up on you guys.
Jeez. No, that's right. Yeah. No, yeah. But you're a good chance. There's 1,500 rolls up there, and there was 3,000 people there on the weekend. So, you know, you're one in two chance. Good luck.
The next Arnold Schwarzenegger, right here.
You never know. Probably how he started.
Yeah.
$70 million worth into the economy, they reckon, that movie.
Is that right?
South Australian economy. Yep, 500 jobs.
Very positive. All right, Ruined It's here on Triple M, all thanks to Chemist Warehouse. If you need a gift for Father's Day, if you want to get Dad some really nice aftershave, head into Chemist Warehouse. Oh, Roo, it is freezing.
Yes, it's been a very cold winter. I don't know if you get feel the cold more when you get older or not, but it feels like it is a very cold winter. In fact, it was hailing at the footy yesterday morning.
Oh, we had loads of hail. Let's find out more, because apparently it's going to last for a few more days. Channel 7's Gertie Sperling's on the line. Gertie, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How
Gee,
are
it's
we?
Fresh.
It is fresh. You know, our low was about 10 minutes ago, 7.5 degrees. So it's been a very chilly morning. We've got those southwesterly winds blowing, so it's going to make it feel a lot colder than it actually is today as well.
Is the term polar blast a new one, or have I only just picked up on it the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, we like to say a polar blast or an Arctic blast as we get these cold air mass in the wake of that cold front yesterday. So, and that'll persist really until about Friday. So Friday will gradually warm up to 18 degrees, but today's top's only 13, and then hovering in the mid-teens for most of this week.
All right. Well,
the showers persisting, on and off as
now,
well.
Gertie, I've got to ask you a meteorological question that Rue and I just scratch our heads with from time to time. I don't know if you've got the answer, but you know when sometimes a weather presenter will say, oh, it's 15, but feels like 11. Well, if it feels like 11, surely it's 11. That, isn't it all about what the air temperature
wind chill.
Is? Wind chill.
It's the wind chill. You've got to factor that in. I suppose if you're standing, you know, somewhere where the wind's not blowing, you know, say you're sheltered in somewhere, then you're going to feel warmer, of course. But when you're out, you know, in the elements where the wind's blowing, then, you know, that's when we say it feels more like that.
Hang on a second. You're going to get ditz fired up.
Hang on. No,
Gertie.
No, I'm not fired up, but hang on a second. So I'm leaving and I'm watching Gertie Sperling on 7 News, and she says, right, tomorrow it's going to be 18.
But it'll feel like 15.
So what's the, I can't then go out saying, well, it's going to be 18 today, because it's actually only going to feel like 15. So therefore, it's only 15.
Well, so I guess it's when those wind gusts are going through. It's when those wind gusts are going through. You know, it's not always windy. You have times where the winds drop and ease.
Good answer, Gertie.
That's my argument anyway.
Yeah, good one. Hey, did it snow in South Australia or not?
Snowed at Mount Lofty yesterday. I don't think for very long, but there was, we did get sent in some video of some snow, but mostly, as everyone probably would have seen, it was the hail really that battered most of the suburbs and, you know, put a bit of a blanket down.
Gee, there was tons of it. You know, sometimes it hails just for a few minutes. It hailed for a long, long time yesterday.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah, there was lots of it.
I couldn't help myself. I went outside and took a video myself. My husband thought, you're a loser. What are you doing out there? He's like, you're not even working. I just was excited to see it.
like great to have support from your partner, isn't it, Gertie?
Yeah, I know, isn't it? Isn't it, Jeff?
What was he doing? Sitting on the couch watching the footy?
Yeah, waiting for the cricket to start. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. All right, good on you, Gertie. Thanks for that. So,
Rude,
by the end of the week, it'll be about 18, so which is nice.
With a wind chill of 15.
It'll feel like 15, but it'll be 18.
Limo coming up for a laugh next.
Ruined Dits for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Lehman. I'm Anthony Lehman.
Hello, Leo. On this Monday morning, how are you?
Wonderful to be with you again. And can I just, Gertie Sperling, one of the great names in weather.
It is.
Can I just say, fantastic name. But this whole wind chill business, please.
Yeah.
Can we just, I'm with you, Ditz, can there just be one temperature? Our brains aren't equipped to deal with two temperatures.
To me, I know I've already said it, but it's about air temperature, surely. Isn't that what the temperature is? If it feels like 11, it's bloody 11. It's not 15 or...
it's about what it feels like.
I know.
I'm dressing for what it feels like.
Don't put that hat and gloves on, because it's not really zero. Feels like it.
Is he standing out in the wind or not? Are you standing in the rain or not? Or are you standing in the sun or not? I don't know. It's
we've got to carry our own thermometers with us, don't we?
It's not Gertie's fault.
No, it's not Gertie's fault.
The Bureau tells them this stuff.
I get that it's not Gertie's, but if there's two temperatures and we get the feels-like temperature, who gets the other temperature?
Yeah, that's right.
What, trees and ducks?
That's why it's anyway. A high and low, is it?
So let's not get bogged down in the feels-like.
No. Do you watch the cricket, Lemo?
The cricket. Well, how's Steve Smith ruled out with concussion?
Already?
Well, he was ruled out last night. They did
get
a
on the palms.
They did a concussion test because Jofra Archer. Gee, that was a vicious session from Jofra Archer.
Yeah,
where he hit him on the arm, then hit him in the head. Steve Smith had to go off and come back on. Then they tested him. He was concussed. Now, the new rule in cricket is you can replace a concussed player with a like-for-like player. That's the rule. So,
like for like, a batsman. Was Bradman available
or not? A batsman or a bowler or a...
Viv Richards wasn't in the country, no. Unfortunately. So they replaced him with Manus Lubuchain. Now,
different to Smith.
They said like for like. That's like someone spilling your beer and replacing it with a Diet Coke.
It is.
They did it right, though.
Not quite like for like.
Made 59, Limo.
Yeah, I know. Steve Smith would have made 230. So I'm just saying.
So that's the old, made 230, feels like 59.
Feels like 59. There it is. There's a cricket analogy for the weather.
59 in 6154 felt like 230. Save the game.
Yeah. See, Gertie can do cricket as well.
We've got it all covered here today. But Steve Smith, what a superstar, can I say. Hey, and the footy on the week, tough weekend of the footy.
Don't bring up the footy.
For the South Australian
team.
Hey, can I say, on a bright note, though.
Oh, yeah, what?
James, the kick for cash.
Yeah.
$20,000.
Yes. Very good.
Yeah.
Good on him doing that at halftime in the Crows-Collingwood game. Roo, were you tempted to bring him on in the third quarter?
If there was a substitute rule when we were 0 goals and 6 points, that would have got him to kick from 20.
Get him involved. Hey, Roo, is the fact that you lost but finished the day inside the 8 any consolation at all?
Oh, that just highlights how much of a weird season we're having here in
this
South
is
Australia.
Another crazy. This is we lost, but it felt like a win. They went up. They went up in the ladder.
I know.
They lost by 10 goals and went up above us.
Gertie's having an influence on the footy.
It's unbelievable.
8th feels like 10th. And it's disappointing from Port on the weekend.
Oh, did you think so?
Yeah. It doesn't take an expert to point that out. Is it true, though? I've heard a whisper that Ken Hinckley has said Tuesday night at training, bring your mouthguards, boys.
Mm.
Bring your mouthguards and your cricket bats. He's arranged a net session with Jofra Archer for the boys.
No, please, just get the footies out.
Stop it with your controversial training methods.
At least your team had a good day. Was it good to be part of the Jared Ruffhead finale?
Oh, it was magnificent, Roo. It really
six
was.
Goals.
He kicked 6 goals too, and I'll tell you what, the boys were looking for him every time they went inside 50. I'd like to see the stats on the percentages that they went for each forward, because I reckon they went for him about 95% of the time. Mm. But the crowd just went bananas at every time he got near the ball, every time he came back on the ground. The atmosphere was just outstanding and testament to the type of bloke he is. He's universally loved, as you know, in football circles. So it really was a fairy tale finish for him. 6 goals too. And there was one moment where Jack Gunston took a mark in front of him and the crowd booed Jack Gunston. Jack turned around and saw Ruffy behind him and went, oh, sorry, mate.
No.
That really should have gone to you.
Will he play this week?
Well, he has said, apparently, that he will be available if Clarko wants him.
Knowing Clarko would drop him this week, you've had your fun. We're playing the win against West Coast Eagles in Perth. Because if they win, our sides can't play finals.
Mm. Well, there we go. Well, for Hawthorn to get in, we just need to beat the West Coast Eagles in Perth by about 12 goals, yep. And the Crows need to beat the Bulldogs by about 13 goals. So can you arrange that, Roo, in Ballarat?
Oh, yeah, I've got a fair bit of pull.
You've got a real hometown advantage there in Ballarat.
Well done, Limo.
Right, good on you, Limo.
Good. And Roo, wear your cold weather gear in Ballarat, so I think it's going to be -4.
No, I'm staying here and doing the Port game. I'm not going to Mars. No, thanks.
All right, good on you guys.
See you, Limo. In a moment, unfortunately, Roo will dissect the weekend of footy for us. Roo and Ditz here on Triple M. Roo, I think all footy fans that follow the Crows and Port are just shell-shocked. What a weekend. How frustrating.
Yep. Inconsistent, frustrating is an understatement, I think, Ditz. People have had a gutsful, especially Crow supporters, and rightly so. It's been a very disappointing season. And
you might find this really weird, but I had friends say to me yesterday, a lot of people texting around saying, why bother playing finals? I mean, that's a strange thing to say, isn't it? But I know where they're coming from.
Probably because they just want it to end and they want change and they want improvement and they don't want to get embarrassed in finals. But I'm not saying that. And I'd never say that. I'd never give up until you're knocked out, basically. That's what I'm like. But I can understand people's frustrations. And there are a lot of emotions flying around with supporters at the moment, and, you know, justifiably so, because, you know, words like pathetic, words like embarrassing are getting used. And I can understand that from supporters, and I can understand that from staff and players and everyone. It's a bad patch that the Crows are going through, and Port are in a different position to the Crows, but, you know, equally, not probably, well, I don't know, equally as disappointing.
Well,
I
tell
suppose.
Us about the Crows. What was your take on it the other night? A home game, you can play finals, and you go down by 60-odd points.
Yep. Look, they were in it in the first quarter. They had opportunities. They didn't take them. They hit the goalposts three times in the first quarter, was it? You know, that didn't go to plan. Second quarter, the rot started to set in. I think bad skill errors caused turnovers, which caused goals to the opposition. Once you have bad turnovers, you lose confidence. And as what's happened so many times for the Crows this year, when they lose confidence and they get run over, they have minimal fight. I think that's what gets people the most angry, is there's a lack of fight. And then, you know what, I think there's actually a bit of an ability problem to actually to stop them as well, which is a bit sad to say. But the Crows are in an ordinary spot at the moment, and, you know, there needs to be changes made at the end of the year. So that will happen.
So just for your fans, your members listening right now, have you got confidence in your squad? Because I'll be honest with you, at the start of the year, when I looked at your team on paper, I thought it was a very, very good team.
Yep, it is on paper, Dits. But
did we overrate them?
No, I think, well, we might have overrated them this year, not over their careers, but I think there's some changes that need to be made. No one's going to hide behind that, and that'll happen when it's time to happen. But at the moment, they're playing to win, even though they're not doing a very good job of it consistently. But you got to pick your side to win. Win this week by more than 30 points against the Bulldogs, and hope that Port doesn't win, and hope you can miraculously change your game plan to the point where it's attacking enough to have an influence. I know there's a lot of luck in that, but that's the way you've got to approach it.
So, what do Port supporters do right now? How do we understand what our team is dishing up?
Look, if you look at Port, the frustrating thing for them, Dits, is that their best is really good. Their poor is really bad.
Yep.
That is not a good way to play football, and it shouldn't happen. And it is happening. You got beaten by contested possession minus 49. Now, you're not minus 49 worse than North Melbourne. That's something in the head happening there.
So that's, about in the head or not working hard enough or
in the head.
All those things?
All of that. So, you know, you might get there and you might get on a roll. That's what I've been saying for the last few weeks. But you might get to the finals and play like you did on the weekend and get knocked out in the first week, which is what you don't want to happen. But at least your best football is good enough. Mm. You're just not doing it for more than 2 weeks.
So do you
weeks.
Think that's just because of a young side? Is it a young – can we use that as an excuse?
Or I don't think so. It's not, because it's not just your young players that aren't getting the job done. It's your older players as well.
See, I really like our squad. I
don't mind your squad
forward,
either. I actually like your squad too. But
I think in the next couple of years, they could be very, very exciting.
Well, they can be, but they might not be. You just don't – nothing's a given in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at where Melbourne are at this year. Look at where the Crows are at 2 years ago. Well, the Bulldogs, when they won their flag, didn't make the finals for the next 2 years. Does not guarantee anything, Dits. Mm. It's a ruthless competition. You need to stay ruthless with your training and your preparation and everything you do at your football club. Otherwise, you'll be knocked out of finals contention.
All right. That's how Roo saw the footy over the weekend. Roo and Dits here on Triple M. Roo, in just a moment, we're going to play this montage again that we played just after 7 o'clock. And this is to do with SIDS and Kids SA. Look, if you didn't get to hear it earlier, I guarantee you'll want to listen to this. We met two ladies last week that came in to talk to us and talk to all of our staff. And honestly, it was so touching and so gripping. And everyone just ended up in tears. And as an organisation here at Triple M, we want to try and help out. So we'll play this for you in just a moment. Roo, on this Monday morning, we want to support SIDS and Kids SA. And we're asking for donations, 133353. And we've got a caller on the line.
We sure have. Rochelle, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. What would you like to say?
Look, those stories touched me very deeply. My business, Tangle Kids Haircare, would love to donate $500 to this very worthwhile cause.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Rochelle. That's very, very generous. Thanks so much. Now, tell us about Tangled Kids Haircare.
Yeah, so we're a South Australian family-owned business.
Yep.
We've got two kiosks at Westfield TTP in Marion, and our business specialises in children's hair care. So working with kids and families every day of the week, we'd just love to chuck some money into this worthwhile cause to help you guys out.
You've donated with us before, haven't you, Rochelle? Did you donate for Kickstart for Kids when we looked after the kids that had those little camps in school week?
Yeah, we did. We did. We absolutely love supporting you guys because you have such worthwhile causes, and we like to think that our products make a difference in people's lives, and the work that you guys do does as well.
Oh, well done, Rochelle. So once again, it's Tangled Kids Hair Care. And sorry, where are your two locations again?
We've got a kiosk at Westfield TTP and
yep.
at Westfield Marion, and you can see us at the Royal Adelaide Show and also at the Gawler Show this coming weekend.
Oh, brilliant. All right, well, thank you so much. $500, very, very generous.
That's fantastic. Thank you very, very much for that. Triple M have just said Dits are going to throw $1,000 just to get this underway as well. So we're off and running. This is a great charity, and you are going to hear some very, very heart-wrenching stories, as bad as it can get, over the next coming days here on Triple M.
Yep. In a moment, we're going to talk all things entertainment with Peter Ford. Ruined It's on Triple M.
Entertainment. That's entertainment. With Peter Ford.
Now, Roo, this is interesting. I read over the weekend that Peter Ford had passed away.
What?
What's the truth here? Peter Ford, good morning.
I know. Rumours of my death are greatly exaggerated.
Right.
No, it all happened when Sunrise reported that I died. They
really?
Said that, yeah, show business legend Peter Ford has died.
Mm.
I thought, well, at least it's good billing. You know, it's a good title to have.
Yeah.
But my phone started going crazy with people ringing saying, oh, my God, they just reported you're dead. And I thought, well, why are you ringing me? If I'm dead, why, you know, who do you think's going to answer? Well, of course, I'm not dead. So in between the sound of my phone going off, I could swear I could hear champagne corks going everywhere.
No.
But then the worst thing was when they came back and did the apology, it was more like an apology to the viewers rather than an apology to me.
Mm.
Like, oh, sorry, he's not dead after all, but Peter Fonda is dead.
Peter Fonda.
Yeah, from Easy Rider.
Yeah.
And he was a really interesting man, of course, born into this incredible Fonda family. Henry Fonda was one of the world's great movie actors. And anyway, I actually met Peter Fonda only about 10 years ago, late at night at Coles in Chapel Street in Melbourne. He was shooting a movie called Ghost Rider, and I was in the line. This is pre the sort of automated checkout chicks, and I was in the line waiting to get served, and I had dog food, and he just turned around and started talking to me. And it took me about a minute to really realize who he was. And he was chat, and then he wanted advice on where to go for a drink. This is like a Monday or Tuesday night in Melbourne. And thankfully, my specialty subject is, bars on Chapel Street. So I almost thought he wanted me to say, oh, I'll come with you and have a drink with you. It was like he seemed really lonely. But anyway, he was quite a good actor, but kept on working. But, you know, his big claim to fame was many, many years ago.
Well, I think he wrote that as well, didn't he?
He did. He co-wrote it with Dennis Hopper.
Yeah.
But he sort of lost
Iconic
me a
film.
Bit. Yeah, when he got onto Twitter and he would go on these crazy rants about Trump, which is fair enough. Everyone goes on crazy rants on Twitter. But he really lost me when he wrote some really, really sicko things about Donald Trump's son.
Right.
And I thought, oh, no, that's really crossing a line.
Mm.
Hey, Prince Andrew's troubles look like they might be deepened a little bit after a new video come out with him waving goodbye to a young lady.
Yeah.
It's going to take a bit of explaining.
This is going to haunt him, I think. This is really going to haunt him. This is, of course, Jeffrey Epstein. It's been talked about for years and years that he's a good friend of Jeffrey Epstein, who, of course, killed himself just last week. He was facing these very, very serious charges. He was going to be in prison for the rest of his life. And next thing you know, he's carked it. And there's all sorts of talk that, you know, did someone go and strangle him? But the coroner has found that it was suicide, but a lot of people still don't buy it. But this new video has emerged of Prince Andrew leaving Epstein's house with a young girl. Now, the Prince Andrew has put out a statement just a short time ago to say he's appalled by these allegations and the stories surrounding Epstein. But the problem is this. He can't say, oh, I had no idea. I never saw that side of him. Because when this vision was taken...
That was 2 years after, wasn't it?
Well, it's 2 years after. So he pled guilty to it. He pled guilty to those underage prostitution charges. So it's impossible that Prince Andrew could not have known. Mm. So at the very, very best, this is a terrible error of judgment. He should have just stayed a million miles away from the guy.
Mm. Good on you, Pete. Thanks for that. We'll talk later in the week.
Have a good one.
There he is, Peter Ford.
There's the siren. So Collingwood have smashed the Adelaide Crows here at the Adelaide Oval.
They don't deserve to be in there. If they're going to serve up that when their season's on the line, there's no point making it because they're not going to do much damage the way they played tonight.
They have to look at themselves now. They've wasted 2 years inside the so-called window. And here at home, that's their sixth loss here at home in Adelaide Oval.
That's worrying.
Super disappointing. I mean, we've let ourselves down. We've let our fans and supporters down, and it's not acceptable. We came here, as you say, with so much to play for. So we've got some searching to do, you know, in terms of looking at all components of our program.
That'll be it. The Kangaroos got a massive win. 86 points in the end. 22 goals, 1,240.
This has got to be up there with one of the worst displays of the season from Port Adelaide.
Tom Jonas has been very good in a tough situation to give up some of his time.
Bitterly disappointing and unacceptable performance, and we'll sit down as a group and watch that entire four quarter and just dig in and forensically look at it and see where exactly it went wrong.
Clearly incredibly disappointing, and the performance was so far away from what we've been, and what we need to do is not overreact right now and make sure we get the detail and look at the game closely before we come up and go, because if you look at that game, you got everything you could possibly get wrong, we got wrong.
Pathetic performance from Port Adelaide sees them drop 6% and go under Adelaide to ninth spot. So I can't remember a more disappointing day since Port Adelaide lost the 2007 Premiership, to be honest.
Damning stuff for both of our sides here in Adelaide, Roo.
Yeah, it is damning. I heard, who was it, Dale Lewis said wasted 2 years when the Crows are in the window. I'm starting to think the window actually hasn't even been open the last year and a bit for the Crows. I think the game has changed that much in the last 2 years that maybe our players, our club is not capable of getting the job done.
Well, haven't adjusted.
Not sure if they're capable of adjusting, to be honest. That's all the stuff that needs to be looked at. And at the end of the season, Port Adelaide are so up and down. They're so up and down, it's unbelievable, but it should not happen.
Is it their work rate and their mental capabilities that are up and down that are causing it? It has to
be.
It's got to be something to do with it.
Yeah, but what's getting them into that situation? Mm. I would like to know.
Yeah. So what do they do, both clubs? Today, it's Monday, you've had a shocking weekend, but you've got to get up for next weekend.
That's what Ken's saying.
Do you absolutely, you know, tear everyone apart, or do you come in with a positive attitude saying, let's get ready for next week and make sure we get the job done?
I reckon the Crows at this stage of the year have tried everything, and I reckon Port have tried everything. Mm-hmm. I reckon they need a clip on the ears, but they also need an arm around them. I think you've got to do both. Mm-hmm. And no matter what's happened from the weekend and backwards, you can draw on that to try and change it this week. reality is they both have to focus on having big wins.
Yeah.
They both have to focus on playing a brand of football this week that's going to give them some chance of having a big win, because they have to both win by a big margin and rely on other teams to lose for them to get in anyway.
Yep.
But like Bernie Vince said, if they play like that, they might not want to be in the finals. But you've got to play to get in the finals, and you've got to try your hardest until you get knocked out.
Yep.
But it's a very sad state of affairs for both clubs at the moment. And the Crows are probably in a worse position than Port Adelaide going forward. Probably. They are.
That's our look at sport, and that's how Roo saw the footy over the weekend. Roo and it's on Triple M.
For the Hospital Research Home Lottery, $2.8 million grand prize. Visit homelottery.com.au.